I want to focus on two details in the Passion reading that we had today from St. Mark. The veil of the temple was torn in two. The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the centurion, the leader of 100 soldiers, the centurion standing at the foot of the cross said, "Surely this man is the Son of God." All through the Gospel of Mark, people have not been quite getting who he is. Even his disciples don't quite get who he is. The centurion standing at the foot of the cross, the Roman pagan, the tough soldier, says, "Surely this man was the Son of God." We'll take them out of sequence. The veil of the temple was torn in two. Jesus gives up his ghost and dies. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. You've heard me say many times that this cathedral, that the architecture is based on the plan that God gave Moses at Mount Sinai. Moses comes down from Mount Sinai, he has the two tablets of the 10 words of life, and God has also given him instructions. "I want you to build a tabernacle, a tent for me. It'll be the tent of meeting. It'll be the place where I will dwell in the midst of my people." It'll have three sections to it. That's the plan. The plan of the tabernacle, and then when they get to Jerusalem, it becomes the plan of the temple. There's an outer court where all may come. There's an inner court where only the priests go. There is a holy of holies where only the high priest goes, and he only goes once a year, and he goes with the greatest of trepidation. He does everything he can to atone for his own sins, and then he brings the sacrifice, the life that's poured out with him. And in the Holy of Holies is the Ark of the Covenant. It's a chest, gold covered. In the chest are two tablets, the 10 words of life, the staff of Aaron, by which he confounded the magicians of Egypt, and a pot, an omer, of the manna with which God fed them in the wilderness. And there's a gold covered lid, and on each end of that chest are two cherubim. Now the cherubim, they are angels, and they're not Renaissance putti. They are fearsome in every way. Isaiah goes into the temple in the year that King Uzziah dies, and he sees the Lord lifted up high, and he sees the cherubim and the seraphim, and he's terrified. These two angels face each other over the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, and they are the throne angels. They guard the angel throne of God. And this is the place, the seat where God will be seated in the midst of his people and be present to them. And on the throne on the angel throne, it's also the throne of mercy. It's the mercy seat. And the high priest goes in once a year with the blood of the sacrifice. And the life is in the blood. So it's a life that's poured out. And this pouring out of this life washes away the sins of the people, reconciles them to God, reconciles God to them, reconsecrates them as God's holy people. It's all pointing forward to the one who's come. Now, when the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies, the Holy of Holies is veiled all the time. And so when he goes in there, he has to go through the veil. Why? Why does the throne of mercy, why does the place where God dwells, why is the residence of his glory in the midst of his people, why does it have to be veiled? Well, we see this already in the story of Moses' encounter with God on Mount Sinai. Moses wants to see the glory of God, and God tells him, if you see my glory face to face, surely you will die. We're not holy. God is holy. We're not righteous. God is righteous. For the unrighteous and the unholy to come into contact with pure righteousness and pure holiness, we'll be undone. We'll be destroyed. And there is something about that that's going on in the change of this crowd. That changes from one moment singing, "Hosanna to him who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest," and then the next minute is crying, "Crucify him." We want to come near to God. We want God to come near to us. But when it begins to happen, we have this instinct that we're going to die. Now, resurrection faith is, of course, yes, you will die, but that's a death unto life. But it causes us to run away from God. It causes us to push God out of our lives. It causes us to push God onto the cross. So the veil, so anyway, Moses wants to see God's glory. And God says, "Moses, you're my chosen. You're the most righteous man that there is. But even you can't see my glory face to face. Surely if you do, I'll tell you what, I will hide you in the crack of a rock. I'll hide you in the cleft of a rock. Put my hand over you. And as my glory passes by, you'll get just a glimpse of it." And Moses does get a glimpse of it. And from that encounter, his face is so radiant that he has to put a veil over his face. When the radiance of God settles upon the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, there's a cloud that veils the radiance. It's part of God's mercy. It's God drawing near to us, but drawing near to us in such a way that we're not destroyed, that we're not undone. We're not just literally blown away. And so there's a veil that veils the Holy of Holies. Now, this is not a tablecloth. It was significant. It was substantial enough in the tabernacle, but when they got to the and it was always very beautiful. And it was always exquisitely made. It's woven of dyed wool. It has three colors, crimson, purple, blue, and white. It has woven into it the cherubim, the guardians of God's throne. When they got to the temple, and they built the temple in Jerusalem, the veil was so substantial that when it needed to be taken down and cleaned, it took 300 priests to do it. It was a great treasure of the ancient world. And when Antiochus, the Greek, conquered Jerusalem, it was one of the prizes that he took away. The veil is part of the mercy of God. It's God drawing near to us and allowing us to draw near to God, but hiding himself so that we're not undone. Now, there's a tradition about Mary. And the tradition about Mary is that she was as a little girl, she was an expert weaver. And that she took part in weaving the veil of the temple, Herod's temple. And often Mary is depicted in red, and that's a reference to her part in weaving the veil of the temple. Now, the Latin word for womb is matrix. A loom is a matrix. And you weave on the matrix. What does the psalmist say? King David says, "You knit me together in my mother's womb." The knitting of God, that's what a baby is. "You knit me together in my mother's womb." Mary wove the veil, this instrument of grace, of God's restraint, whereby he draws close to us and allows us to draw close to him. She wove the veil of the temple. God, in Mary's matrix, in the loom of her womb, wove the humanity of the Savior. The hymn writers There must be something about singing theology, because when you get a really great hymn, you always get good theology. Offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with man to dwell. Jesus, or Emmanuel. The veiled Holy of Holies, the enthroned presence of God, has literally grown legs. The whole Holy of Holies, the throne of God with God on the throne, with the veil wrapped around him, is walking the hills of the Holy Land with his face set to Jerusalem. And now he comes to the cross. The king coming to win back the obedience, he enters as a king. The king, and this whole story is a story of an enthronement, the king coming back to win the obedience of his rebellious people. But how is he to do it? Just reveal the glory, and we would die. We'd be undone. You cannot win love by force, but only by irresistible love. And so he meets our resistance with his non-resistance. He meets our violence with his non-violence. He meets our hate with his love. He meets our unforgiveness with his infinite forgiveness. He meets our life, which is dying, with his life-giving death. And so he gave a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The glory of God, which both kills and gives life, is now able to be seen. No one has ever seen God, but we have beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten in the face of Jesus Christ the Lord. The barrier between heaven and earth, between the holy God and an unholy people, is torn open by the torn flesh of the Savior, by the torn flesh of the veil that was woven in Mary's womb. Now, says the writer to the Hebrews, we can go boldly into the throne of grace. Not only can we go into the sanctuary, we can go into the Holy of Holies. We can go bold in and through the cross of Jesus Christ. And we can say with the centurion, who knew nothing about the religion of the Bible, had none of the clues about the veil and the temple and the Holy of Holies and the life poured out, had none of those clues, but he knew what a king looked like. He was in the service of a king, and he knew what a king looked like. And we can say with him now that the veil has been torn in two. We can say with him now, surely this man is the Son of God. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.